Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Roleplay Swan Song. It's week 32. It's been a while. What was that, Jeff? You were muted.
A week it was.
Yeah. No, I typed it in the professionalism, Jeff.
Well, you've raised the bar, my friend.
Let's talk about it. let's just cut right to the chase. Jeff, I heard you got a Titan.
Yes.
Can you see it? Yeah.
It's happening.
Fuck yeah.
Try. I gotta take
the size and weight of an actual human baby.
That's amazing. Can we just sit in silence?
No, that's fine. That's all.
Okay.
I'm still like answering a bunch of emails.
We have a moment. Jesus.
Oh my God.
Look at that fucking thing. Deus belly.
Yeah.
So I have a question now. Okay.
Hold on. Let him show it off. Shut up. Jeff, hold it up. Oh my God!
How long was Anna in the hospital giving birth to that thing?
Oh my God,
it's amazing.
Adam, I'm eating.
He did a really good job. I'll try to hold it close and stuff, but he weathered it because they actually, in the fluff, these things are like 10 or 20,000 years old.
Yeah, they're ancient,
like,
right?
They're not brand new.
Terminators, right? Like Terminators have the same thing, and they're all super old.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So it's weathered. It's actually really heavy. And then I'll show you the head. It's all magnetized, so all the parts come off.
Oh my God, you broke it.
See if it won't be out of focus.
Just pull that head right off.
What does it operate on, Jeff?
That's pretty sick.
I mean that in a fluff sense.
Oh, in a not fluff sense?
No, in a not literal sense. Like, what is
it? Oh, in a fluff sense? They're like, it's actually kind of cool. It's plasma, like big plasma generators and that kind of stuff. But when this thing blows up, It's 36 inches out from this guy, and then in a circle, and it's the biggest explosion possible. It's a D.
How many points is it?
This is 2,750 points base.
Sure. So like an army and a quarter.
Yeah. So to give you guys an idea, typical tournament is 1,850. I'll try to get this one.
So wait, you can't even use it in tournament play?
Not in a tournament, no.
Not like an actual tournament.
You'd field it in, like, what, a, like, 5K army? 10K?
Well, what
like,
the fuck? Yeah. I thought that was the whole point. I thought the whole point was to get this fucking huge Titan so you can walk up with the Titan and a giant boner and plop it down and nerds in front of you just, like, fall over.
That's what happens.
That still happens.
Yeah.
It still happens.
And like, then you still bring the Titan, but you just put it off the side and give him a look like, you're glad I can't play this.
Right, it's a threat thing.
So there's a variation of the game called APOC, Apocalypse. And in those games, you play 5,000, 10,000 points per side or per army. And this will make an appearance there, and he's just a god there.
Yeah, so. But then there's other guys that have like four of them, right?
They can, and there are people that get out of hand, but specifically the Warlord, like, so let's be honest, because Anna won't see this, all right?
All right, shut up.
She knows, kind of. Buying the model, $2,000. Having it assembled professionally, that was $750. Painting it, I tipped him $250 to do it in 1 month, and that cost $1,750. So all said and done, it is a $4,500 model.
A round of applause, ladies and gentlemen.
It's moments like these that I love, Jeff, because I don't feel bad for the amount of comics that I bought behind.
Oh, no, yeah.
Because
yeah.
I feel
we
like we're on the same level.
We all got
like,
a thing, yeah.
And we can use each other, right? I can be like, well, Jeff, like, fucking God of the Titan. You can be like, well, we know all the comics. So it's perfect.
Yeah.
I love it. This is.
I'm having banners made by another artist to dangle from the guns, and it's going to have one here. He's more reasonable. It's going to cost $250 total for the three banners, but
Jeff,
that's still fucking gnarly.
For absolutely free, I can put a little mechanism in it that you can press a button, and then it will actually like vape some pee juice, and it will look like smoke exhaust coming out of it.
Dude, you can't vape everything like a literal flamethrower installed in it.
I can vape everything.
That sounds like a challenge to weed. Don't say that.
The coolest. It makes the coolest effects. All right,
I'll sit down. But I'm going to make a video tonight, and I'll go over everything and show it in better detail, the camera and stuff like that. Webcam just doesn't do it justice, but I'm very, very, very happy. These are my baby cakes.
That's pretty fucking cool.
thank you.
I wouldn't spend that much money on it, but that's pretty fucking cool. Like, I respect that you spent that much money on it.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of people like, what a waste of money. What an incredible...
I wouldn't say it's a waste. JP. No, that's exactly it. I am not saying it's a waste. I'm just saying that me personally would not spend $4,500 on that. Yeah, but totally. The fact that you did is fucking cool.
And it's like Warhammer is actually better and cooler to me than StarCraft. Like, if there was a life of doing Warhammer, I would, because I love it that much. And this guy is the fucking model. It's an honor to have him. They'll be like, what? Like, I don't know, in all my community, I don't, nobody else that has one. And I know a lot of Warhammer people. So, it's an honor.
It's funny, because it's not actually, like, that big of a deal, all things considered, compared to things that other people are, like, everybody that's excited about anything, there's, like, a top-notch thing of that thing, right? Like,
yeah.
It doesn't matter what it is. It could be fucking pants. Like, people would be like, these pants cost me $7,000.
Actually, let me talk to you about some stretch pants, Adam. Hell yeah. I've got four pair now.
Nice.
The extreme jeans are coming in. They'll be here. Actually, I haven't looked at the...
One second. Let me set them down.
Each pair of pants was $1,100.
Sometime this week, but yeah. I'm getting the extreme flex. I'm excited.
Yeah, like... At some point in our lives, each of us will drop $4,500 on an awesome part of our hobby or whatever. Like, it's just, it's likely.
Yeah.
Especially as you get old.
Going back to the stretch pants, the funniest thing about these.
Shut up, Steven. Pants.
The funniest thing about these is I've probably gotten, and I'm not exaggerating, I've probably gotten 100 plus tweets of people saying, hey, I bought the pants. These are incredible. Like, people are losing their minds.
I saw you say that to them. Did they
get
free pants? Like, they should.
No, they did not.
At least we're into stuff like miniatures and pants and not, like, addicted to cocaine or whatever.
Yes. We could be crack addicts. That's true.
Just think about that for a second. I spent $4,500 on cocaine this weekend.
I agree with you, but Anna's, like, too smart and critical. Like, that argument has been... I haven't tried it because I knew, but there's been other friends who are like, you know, at least we spent money on Warhammer, not on strip clubs and alcohol. And Anna kind of smiles silently, and later's like... Just in case you're wondering, that argument won't work with me because you could say that about anything. And, like, I wouldn't be with you if you spent thousands of dollars on strippers and cocaine. Like,
that's true.
Like, fair enough, actually.
Man, talking about cocaine, have you guys watched Narcos yet?
Yes.
I heard it's good,
four episodes in.
I'm
JP,
two episodes in.
Will you guys help me?
What's that?
Every time I want to start it, Jen goes, oh, I don't really want to, like, start something heavy. But I have a feeling like it's not really
the first
heavy.
Two episodes are pretty light.
Yeah, it's like I'd put it. It's about as heavy as like Breaking Bad.
But it's like, not Breaking. Show, it's not Breaking Bad heavy till like the middle.
Yeah,
and I think like the first episode.
That's what I would expect.
And the narration actually makes the show, and it also makes it lighthearted.
The best part of Narcos, and I said this before. We're like 10 minutes in. I'm like, okay, it's a show set in Colombia. Everyone in Colombia speaks Spanish. I wonder if they're just going to make everyone speak English with a Spanish accent, but they don't. There's subtitles, and it's so good.
It's
it makes
so
it
good.
So much better.
I love that so much about it too. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
I found this great new show this weekend. I just started watching it. It's really cool. I think some of you might really dig it. It's called Daredevil.
Nice.
Yeah.
You guys should really check it out.
Yeah, but there's people here in chat who haven't heard it yet.
Daredevil's pretty good. It's pretty good.
I'm also, you know, I'm playing up my personal brand, Jeff.
Did you see the Jessica Jones teaser?
Steven? No.
It's like the next Marvel street level show for Netflix. It's only about a minute long and they don't really show anything.
The phrase Jessica Jones teaser sounds like something you would find on like RedTube.
Well, the show's called AKA Jessica Jones is the name of the
Yes, it is.
Yeah. I mean, that's the name of the comic as well. But
by the way, often
the name of the comic is Alias.
Kind of a negative Nancy about this stuff, so I want to balance it out with some positivity. You were right about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. About 75% of that first season's pretty boring shit.
It's fucking terrible.
But then it picks up, and it's a pretty good show. It's a pretty good show.
Are you in season
two? You don't mean S.H.I.E.L.D., Jeff, right?
I know.
I still haven't watched that. Are you in season two yet?
I haven't watched either.
Yeah. I'm about four episodes in.
Okay. All right.
It's actually, it was interesting what a swing it was because if you're worried about spoilers, four episodes into season two of a show that's been out for 2 years, here you go.
Yeah.
the scientist guy who gets just completely fucked up.
Yeah.
Struggling in season two. That's actually like, there's a couple times where I'm like sitting down with lunch, like starting my day.
Like,
and I'm watching, it's like so depressing and fucked up that I'm like, is there anything else lighter on right now? I need to go check Netflix. It's like, he's like, can't talk, and it's like so well acted in the story that it's like really hard to watch.
Yeah.
Because they're like, quick, what's going to happen? He's like, and they're like, get the fuck out of here, retard. We can't talk to this guy. And I'm like, everyone used to be so friendly and nice.
Yeah.
Really fucking hard.
No, they're rough in that show. Yeah, towards the end of it, season two, it gets much better. And then I'm excited. Fall shows are going to start up, but they're not starting till October. Like, what is with fall shows starting in October this year?
Idiots.
It's fucking infuriating.
It used to be September, for sure.
Yeah, it used to be September was the big start, but I don't know.
While we're on the subject of infuriating things.
Sure.
How about XCOM 2 getting delayed till next year?
I'm okay with that. There's too many games out this year.
Why don't I just kill myself now?
No.
There's, like, basically no reason to live.
There are too many games out this year already.
There
to
are.
Begin with.
Amen.
If we really want to talk about something, Jeff.
Yeah.
Let's turn this into state of the game for a second. Adam and Steven, don't talk for the next 5 minutes. Let's talk about how stupid it is to have StarCraft II come out the same day as Tomb Raider in Fallout 4.
I agree.
What the actual fuck are they thinking? Is there no other like launch window that they could have gotten into?
There was. There was supposedly one other day that they were balancing between. And I guess all I can think is the idea of launching something...
After
2 days after BlizzCon is a big deal for them.
Same here.
They're aware of the fact that it's specifically, not necessarily Tomb Raider, but Fallout 4 that it's sharing that date. Like, obviously they're aware of that. And in my opinion, I don't know what argument you can make against that. It's not like it's going to hurt their sales at all. Obviously people that buy StarCraft are going to buy StarCraft, but
right.
Sharing the stage, the PR stage, with that big of a game, like it's just automatically going to cut into discussion.
You're not really sharing a PR stage at this point, right? Because the PR machine has already been in work. But what you are doing is you're forcing the gamers to actually, you know, either spend all their money and buy them all or make the decisions on which one they're going to buy first. And when it comes down to it, like seeing a Fallout 4 commercial versus a Tomb Raider commercial, like – which one is actually going to get me to buy the game? Just whichever one I personally, as a gamer, want to buy first. But I think also there's something to be said, and I'm not sure a lot of people are talking about it, but in addition to the holiday season, like in wrapping up a quarter and getting good profits as a game company
and
as a publisher, it's also important. And so it's like fucked up because almost every year we have a day like this.
Yeah, that's true.
I agree with you. The only thing I would add, though, is like specifically streaming, which actually now is like the marketing thing to do, especially with YouTube Gaming coming up as big as it is. the idea of like on that day and the days after, people are going to be like, well, Legacy Void just came out. So did Fallout 4. I'm more of a casual. I can come back to StarCraft. That's going to be around for a while. I'm going to watch Fallout 4 right now, and for the week there's going to be people, 20,000 people on there, and then there are going to be people from that mass that are like, fuck, that shirt looks cool, I'll buy that shirt. You know what, I'm going to buy Fallout 4, this looks amazing. Like, that split is actually going to hurt the carry-on of a game. You know, like, StarCraft 2 is going to be around, but to share it with somebody else means that the hype explosion of it is mitigated by a lot, I think.
I mean, for StarCraft, there's certainly a much larger impact than there is between Fallout and Tomb
Raider. Oh, yeah.
There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you're obviously always going to have the hardcore Blizzard enthusiasts who are going to get it. You got the StarCraft fans, but doesn't help with bringing any new people in, whereas, like, if it was the only title coming out that day, that could just, you know,
change. So, I actually have a question for you guys. Looking at the cinematics for Wings of Liberty, for Heart of the Swarm, and for Legacy of the Void, it feels to me like the cinematic for Legacy is much more targeting people who already know what StarCraft is and what it's like, because it's just showing you something that would happen in a game. Do you feel like Blizzard is perhaps just targeting their core, their base, the people who already are fans of StarCraft, and not trying to reach too far outside?
I think
of that?
You have to at this point with where that game is. Like, if you're going for a, I mean, you always want more than just your core audience, but I think I think the answer to your question is yes. That is exactly who they're targeting, because who's going to jump into that game and like, let's play multiplayer?
Right. They're doing a little bit like Archon mode, Allied Commander. Like they're doing a couple of nods more to the casual than they ever have in the past to make it easier. Yeah. But I agree with JP. Like, how could you ever do a StarCraft Part 3 and be like, and everything was super automated, like even more than it ever was, and you know.
Yeah.
Honestly, you guys, after watching that fucking cinematic, which was goddamn amazing, it was I feel like you could show that to anyone and they'd be
true.
I want to play that game. Yeah. Like,
dude, when they turned into an Archon, I was just like, I'm fucking done. I'm spent.
Dude, the pylon,
yeah, that was
just
good too.
Just the probe fucking warping in at the beginning, like, that was fucking epic shit.
It was good.
So, I have serious feels about this cinematic, and I'm going to talk about them because I'm in the games industry. So, so I see so many cinematics. I actually tweeted about this. I went back to Wings of Liberty, to Heart of the Swarm cinematic, and you can look at them, and like, Wings of Liberty cinematic was cool, but there was nothing in it that was from a video game. There was nothing in it that you could play. There was no experience there. It was a good story, but there was no game. Heart of the Swarm, there was a little bit of game. Like, there's, like, all the introduction where Kerrigan is talking, and then there's, like, a little bit of a battle with, you know, the Ultralisk coming down and the Viking landing and shooting at it. Cool stuff. Like, that feels like there's gameplay there. But then it ends with story. There's not a lot of game there. But Legacy of the Void, my favorite, like, game cinematic I've seen in a long time, that tells the story that you as a player can have in the game. I've seen that story in countless StarCraft games that I've watched. I've played that story in game. That is super cool to me. I think they did a great job with that cinematic.
It's a very good point. Yeah.
I agree.
I like that. That's like great. That's
they also slowed it down for the first time too. Like the part where the zealot has the shield out and runs through the baneling, and slow it down. They show it blowing up over it. Not to geek out too much, but graphically, that's really fucking hard to do. Like you have to have amazing graphics to have the boldness to slow it down and show effects occurring as they're happening. And Blizzard just, like, what they did is, like, a normal man, like you and I, took out a whale's penis and just slapped it on the table. Well, just, like, rest of the games industry, fuck off. Like,
I just wish they would just make whole movies like that. I would be so fucking in.
Let me tell you about World of Warcraft the movie, because that's pretty much what that is from I've seen of it.
We'll see.
Were you at BlizzCon last year? Did you not see the...
I never saw it.
Oh... You should.
It's supposed to be very CGI.
You should hit them up to see that somehow, because you should. It's actually really cool.
I'm sure they'll show new shit at BlizzCon.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. They have to, right? I would think that you get a trailer, a full-on trailer, too, for public release.
Agreed. Agreed.
There you go. Well, we still got 12 minutes. What else? It's been like, it's actually been a month, I think, since we've played. It's been a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
So what... Was everyone been up? Jeff, you traveled the world, as you usually do, in these long breaks of time.
I just got back from Poland, Germany, where we had probably, if not our best, one of the absolute best StarCraft events to date, which was really energizing and good. Very positive.
Dude, that WCS was so cool. I loved watching that. Great games.
Yeah.
And the analysis, man, really spot on.
Oh, thank you. That was the absolute highlight for me. But, no, the crowd, the venue, the luck of the draw in terms of what the players did story-wise and stuff like that. It was just...
That was in Poland, right?
Yeah.
Was that the crazy crowd that's in from Poland?
Yeah, the Polish are amazing.
Yeah.
They cheer for sports well.
They had an ESL event there, right, when they went insane the first time? I think that's
we've been in Katowice twice, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just great. So, good event. But yeah, I was just laughing at the guys because... And you had us muted, so this will be news to you, but my brain's just fucked. Like, I described... ketchup potato chips as tomato chips, and they're like, it's one of those things where like usually you catch yourself after you say it, but I just like, tomato chips. And my brain's like, that's it, Jeff, congrats.
And then you just stared at us waiting for us to respond.
I was in that state
why don't
last
these idiots
night
understand tomato chips.
I was in that state last night. From I did a 13-hour stream for Destiny, and I also was on 4 hours of sleep, and I also had four cupcakes that were like, they're like the gourmet cupcakes, so it's just like raw sugar. So I was combining words. I like this one actually. Chookies for chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah, people were telling me about chookies.
Chookies. That's pretty. Too... Like you should just. We should open up a bakery.
Yeah.
We need to find someone who can bake good cookies, and we'll sell chookies.
How is Destiny, by the way? Because like I'm not a super big Destiny guy, but I kind of share the same opinion as you, and you've circled back to it, and you've been tweeting that you enjoy it. Like, how is that?
Yeah. I like to talk about it on streams because chat hates it. And so we could talk about it for a little bit.
Do they hate Destiny?
Yeah, it's like universally regarded as like a bad game, I think, on Twitch.
Really?
Yeah, for the most part. At least maybe in like the circle that my community or the people that watch my stuff disregard that game as just like a bad fucking game. They hate it. But it actually is good. The update's good. It did what Diablo 3 did.
Oh, that thing like, would change, huh?
Where, like, Diablo 3 was dog... It was not that great at launch. And then they stepped back and looked at all the new... all the things that were wrong with it. And then, like, listened to the community and changed a bunch of stuff. And now it's, like, pretty good.
Mm. So good. Because I played it at launch and I couldn't get into it. I found it super unbalanced and, like, kind of trash. But, so it's better now?
The part that killed me is most of the time, I watch JP's stream because that's how I test out games when I want to buy them, is like JP and his friend would like run over like, there's a bad guy, and they'd sit there and go, and then you die, and they'd be like, all right, and then like run over here, like, oh shit.
Wait, this for Destiny? I mean, that could be said for like any loot game, really.
Loot game, yes, but like FPSs that I enjoy, it's like, here's this other guy, and here's, you know, I got to take cover, or it's better to nade him first. Like, different ways
to
go about it.
It's like a mix of mobs that are threatening you in different ways, and you have to take out different
threats. You're just farming with a machine gun. Like, you'd literally, like, look at the chat, and if it was your character, you'd be like, oh, three clips in, this fucker's still jumping around.
Oh, that's what it was originally, yeah. No, when that game launched, it was dog shit because of that very reason. There's none of that. Well, there's a very little bit of that, and they took out a lot of the bullet sponginess of monsters in this. So, now it's just like... you'll fucking pull out your hammer, which is flaming, and you just start tossing your hammer at people, and things are exploding on your screen, and then you get loot for it, and it's kind of rewarding.
There you
go. Like, it hits that part of the brain that is like, this is great, this is good, I'm enjoying this, which I think Diablo 3 does now as well.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. I did what Steven's doing right now and leveled a character to 70 on hardcore last season, and then I haven't played since. And I'll probably do it again in the next 6 months. And it'll be fantastic.
I just started like a week ago. I started a hardcore Crusader, and now I'm just running around with hammers flying everywhere around me, just blowing everything up. It's fantastic.
Two games, one heart.
Yep.
Exactly. They are very... it's funny, too, because they're both from Activision. Like, I wonder how much of what Destiny did was kind of like, let's see what Blizzard's done with Diablo.
There's like one executive producer that went from the two buildings and was like, hammers, guys.
They all just had one shared Dropbox folder.
It's just one of those the flow charts. It's just like with a hammer at the very end and everything goes to that. Exactly.
Destiny's just third-person shooter Diablo.
Exactly. You're right.
Yep. And then I purposely stayed away from it, but have you... I think it's just you here, otherwise. Maybe we... have you been enjoying Metal Gear Solid 5? Because I just got it.
Man, that game is... that's a weird... It's a really good game. It's actually an incredible game, but it's just a really fucking bizarre game. Because, like, really? That game can only exist in the world where Kojima can make a game with a shit ton of money behind him. And it will never exist anywhere else ever again. Like,
well, it doesn't matter. This is supposed to be the last one, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They've said that about four, though.
Yeah. It's just, like, there's stuff in that game that, like... it just shouldn't work, but because Kojima is like the fucking crazy person that he is, it works.
Mm. That's a thing. That's a thing that I think we get from certain Japanese game developers. That's just like, there's a very... you can look at a game and be like, "Yep, this is one of those weird Japanese games," and some of them are really small and nobody's ever heard of them, and some of them are like Metal Gear size. And like you said, Kojima is like one of those people that just makes it work. Like, just makes games that are like, "Yep, this is insane. This is totally insane." But I'm a good game designer, so here's my craziness. Enjoy.
So what I've heard from people who've played it, I haven't played Metal Gear, and I haven't even watched it or anything. I'm completely blind as far as Metal Gear is concerned, is that it's like they took a strong auteur with a creative vision, and he did what like Ubisoft is doing with all of like the tower sort of zone control stuff and all the sort of standard features of modern AAA games. And instead of just doing them to check the box, he like grabbed the reins and did them with a strong creative vision, and it's just all of a sudden wonderful instead of like, oh, here's Mad Max, which is like 6 years ago would have been an amazing game, but now it's kind of, we've done this a bazillion times.
I think I would agree with you if you said at the end they fired him because he spent too much money.
And they fired him because he spent too much money.
That's what happened.
Isn't it that's $60 million game?
That's what happens.
Like,
you put an insane genius in charge of your game, and they're like, here, have some money. And they're like, I'll just use all this for weird shit.
I said that we had this conversation on Drop Frames today, like the exact same thing. When you get Kiefer Sutherland to record voiceovers, that is literally him screaming the words rocket arm, and it's because in game, Snake shoots his rocket that is attached to his arm at somebody. like, you're spending too much money.
Like, I was kind of sad they got away from the guy that did the original voice too.
How many million dollars was it though?
I don't know if there was ever a price tag, like an official price tag for the game. There's only been like rumors.
$60 million would not surprise me for a game like Metal Gear.
No, I like, think
that,
that's
that doesn't sound low. Crazy.
Yeah, that seems low. Yeah. Yeah, but that game's Jeff. You can have a horse that you can tell the horse with a command, do it, parenthesis, defecate, and he'll shit where he's standing. And if you're sitting below him, you can have him shit on your face. And I'm not kidding you.
And that's Kojima not even the
played
first
a little
middle...
bit of Ark.
It's not even the first Metal Gear game where you can have someone pee or poo on you. It's like, that's a thing. It's just in the game. Yeah.
So I did like the gifs this game has produced so far. There's one where a guy puts like a parachute on a bear or something like that. Yeah. He shoots a parachute onto a bear and
that's
just
normal
flies
thing.
Off.
You do that to everything. You do that to tanks. You can. There's missions, Jeff, where like you're supposed to take out a tank with a rocket launcher. You know what I did? I walked up to that tank stealthily and then attached a balloon to it, and then I completed the mission because it just flew up into the air. And you can complete the same mission by shooting out the tank treads and then fighting it, or you can complete the same mission by like having the horse shit in the middle of the road and then the tank like veers off the road and crashes, or
oh my God.
There's like a billion different ways to approach everything in that game. It's pretty great, but it's not like a normal Metal Gear game at all. There's like throughout the 60 plus hours worth of game that it is, there's maybe 6 hours of cutscenes total. That's probably generous.
Oh, so it's the inverse of a regular Metal Gear game.
It's the complete inverse, yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Well, maybe I'll play it, because I was going to play it this week, and I was like, I don't know if I want to just stream 4 hours of cutscene, so...
Yeah, it's good.
I heard that the, like, Snake is more of a silent protagonist this time around.
Well, yeah, it's because Kiefer's fucking expensive as shit.
Yeah, David Hayter is cheap comparison. So.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's not the official reason, but that's the official reason, because like they couldn't have Kiefer just record a shit ton of
which
lines.
Is funny, because that guy ain't doing nothing these days, right?
Yeah, but I'm sure he's like David Hayter compared to like recordings of Kiefer.
Voiceover in general is just so expensive, which is actually like was really funny. I was having a talk about Destiny with one of my good friends, and I was like, wow, I was like listening to the comparisons of Peter Dinklage and not Nathan Fillion, Nolan North. Like, because they replaced all of Dinklage's voiceover with Nolan North. Yeah. And I listened to Nolan North stuff, and like it was different, but I didn't necessarily think it was critically better, right? And then I came to the conclusion, like, I think it's just the script that they wrote was so, like, basic, just so cliched, that there's not really any salvaging that any particular voice actor can do on it.
There's this weird thing happening where games, and I guess it's been happening for a while, but where games will have like a cast of your like Nolan Norths, and you're like people who are well known as voice actors in video games, but then they'll hire like one. The Witcher did it with the Charles Dance, right? Where they'll like hire one expensive guy and be like, all right, say a couple of things, and usually the person hates video games, doesn't understand what they're doing, and they're just like, well, I'll just fucking phone this shit in for my $1 million.
Yeah. But like my point was, for how expensive voice acting is, I was surprised that they didn't also rewrite some of the lines, if they were going to re-record all of the shit. Like, voice acting is not cheap. It's a huge expense for any game.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's like, yeah, it's like $10,000 for 200 lines.
Really?
Sorry.
Yeah.
Wow.
It costs a lot.
Jeff, apparently, according to the chat, Kiefer Sutherland is going to be playing Brawn in The Land Before Time 14.
So you said Brawn at first, I immediately thought of, ironically, Peter Dinklage's right-hand man. And
oh.
The other and I was like, that'd be a hell of a replacement.
Brawn is in a Podosaurus, also called a long neck. Okay, I'm getting
well, there you go.
There's actually the Land Before Time wiki. I guess when you have 14 movies there.
What fucking
obviously I need to get into doing voice acting and making a shit ton of money off
there. You go. There you go. Before we end, I know it's already been 30 minutes, but what is it like in hell where you've been the past month?
Yeah.
How's it going?
I literally have been there. It comes and goes in waves. Where it's like, I'm like, oh my God, this fucking event is in 8 days or what, and then it's fine again, and then it's like, oh my fucking God, I forgot I have to do this one thing, and then it's fine again. And it's just like a lot of, like, you know, stuff to coordinate, put together, rehearse and test. And
fucking weed.
I feel like every like employee that I've talked to has said the exact same thing that you've just said, and then at the end they're just like, "But it's gonna be great. It's gonna be awesome. We're gonna nail it."
That's the kind of thing a person stressed to their end says to make themselves not want to die. Like, yeah. "It's gonna be great, JP. It's gonna be fucking great, man."
They're lying to themselves because the consequences for not lying to themselves are death.
Yeah.
Well, terror
is real.
People actually have people killed.
Instead of saying it's great or will be great, what I want to say is that I think it will be fucking badass that people will walk into what will be a first year event, and I don't think it'll feel like a first year event. And that's probably what that's what drives me the most. Like, there's a lot of shit, you know, still just like final stuff as we get ready to move in, but it's I'm excited.
Yeah, should be fun. Jeff, are you going to swing by there?
I might have to be in Sweden at the same time.
Oh.
Fortunately.
What's in Sweden? DreamHack stuff?
Crushed right here.
Yeah, you're not even going to go to fucking Weed's Big Con.
Well, man. To be honest, I got the small fish in a big pond feeling so hard. Twitch puts out this, this sign up for stuff, and I did, and they're like, yeah. They like responded with, like, "We can put you in a gaming lab, I guess." And I was like, "Oh, okay." I was like, "I guess I have zero interest to go."
Well, there you go.
So I got kind of wrecked, but
you should come to the Twitch Hall of Fame thing though, happening on Saturday evening, because it's literally just going to be an hour of Week giving stuff to himself at the awards show.
Well, fuck it. That is the thing of legends, then.
Yeah, nope. Right. It's gonna be awesome.
It won't be.
It's gonna be great.
And the nominees are DJ Weed, and the winner is DJ Weed. Why? Thank you, DJ Weed.
That'll be next year, you guys. Yeah, that'll be next year.
Yeah, they can't. That's right. You can't. They don't have the money right now to get the holograph that they used on Tupac. So they're gonna wait till next year, and then they'll have the holograph.
Oh,
of Weed.
A good idea, man.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Just talk to himself.
Just avoid Suge Knight until then, Wheat. Just...
Exactly. Yeah, watch out. Be careful.
Isn't he in jail anyway?
You think? You never
know.
The arm of Suge Knight is ever reaching.
It's very long.
It's very long. You gotta be careful.
You are probably right about that. I'll watch my back.
Okay. Adam, you tweeted something about Higgs today, and I tried to think. Where we left off.
I tweeted that because you were talking about there was some brief talk. I can't even remember if it was on stream about DeSoto being responsible for the guys attacking you, and then we were talking about you torturing him. And then I was thinking about the thing in the ear.
I don't even know that.
Well, for everyone else, just a quick update. If you're just now tuning in, Adam's trying to kill another Jeff character, even though you know there's nothing I can do to get out of it.
Oh shit! So. We left it that cliffhanger.
What was I going to do? I was going to do something with that.
Yeah, you're
it's like
your
my
first.
Turn.
You're first in the initiative.
Oh, fuck, we have that.
Chat, what was I going to do? I was going to do something super awesome.
You were guiding in a rocket with your mind, bro.
It was something like that. I think it was that I was just going to pick you up with my mind. And just
no,
be
grenade.
Like, well,
it was a grenade. You're going to walk.
The grenade was already launched, but yeah. So,
I just realized you were in
a fight.
I'm walking towards these guys, and I have no idea why I'm doing that.
Because you're a good guy. You want to save Jeff's character. Jeff
Chat is like, you wrote it down, Steven. Look at your fucking notes. Man, I never write shit down, Chat. Damn.
He's like, I pretend to look really care. You know, like,
oh, look at what it says.
It literally says,
use complex manipulation to lift Alpharius to safety.
Oh, that's
Thank you, Chat. I knew you'd tell me what I had to do.
See, you did write it down. I see that.
Awesome.
Cool. All right. Well, before we get to all that business, somewhere else in the sector, there's shit going on. We do our usual like fade from the credits, the blackness of space, and then we pan down to a planet. There's a bunch of ships around the planet, but no traffic going up or down. And we get the subtitle in our official, you know, Swan Song the series text that says Strophios.
And as we fade down onto a scene on the planet, you can hear, like, it's dark and the fade up comes, and there's, like, the sound of a crowd, like, roaring, basically. And they sound, like, angry. They sound somewhere between angry and excited. There's a lot of, like, loud, kind of excited voices. And we see a platform, a big metal platform. And on it, there are several men and women kneeling with their hands tied behind their back and black hoods over their heads. Behind them, there's a group of men in the red like robes of the Purity Initiative, and they're accompanied by a group of men and women in like varying like suits, like business suits. And one of them we recognize like for you know people who have seen earlier episodes, so we've seen that as someone in one of the news broadcasts who was talking about Nika Starlight and how she was a like a terrorist. And we recognize him in the face. It's the demagogue of the new prophet. So this is on Strophios. There's these people that have been captured, and one of the men in the red robes comes over and starts giving a speech in Japanese. And so we get subtitles of his speech, and he's talking about these fugitives who are captured. And how purity is no longer the concern merely of one planet, but of every planet in the sector. And that purity is the most important thing if humanity is going to survive the dark times that are to come. And he says, we thank our brothers at the new prophet for giving us the gift of these people to be purged. And he's handed basically like a power drill or like a rivet gun. And he walks over to one of the men that's kneeling down. And you can hear when we get close up in, you can hear the man like weeping, and we can see the front of the hood is like damp with tears. And he leans in and he basically just jams the gun into the guy's shoulder. And we hear the squeal of the rivet gun going, and it pans back over the crowd, and the crowd is like shrieking, and so they're holding like signs that say, again in Japanese, like purity now, purity forever. Many of them are holding cybernetic limbs, some of them like bloodied, like over their heads, and like waving them. And we pan back, and we see the guy in the robes yank the arm free from the body. The body of the person like falls down. There's like blood and hydraulic fluid like gushing from their shoulder. And he holds the arm over his head, and the blood is like dripping down onto his face. And we just see as we pass back the demagogue and his like bodyguards, and he's just standing there, kind of like impassively watching as these prisoners get disassembled. And so as it fades to black, the sound of the gun, the like spinning and the metal sound going off, we can still hear that. And as we fade in, that's the sound that we hear underneath the firing of lasers and the shouting of combat. As we see the swan song resolve in the distance, Alfie lying down on his face, twitching as the EMP disables his cybernetics, and one of the nearby purity goons, in his red bandana, holding one of those guns, is like leaning in to start disassembling Alfarius.
Good job showing signs of an approaching threat, Adam.
Thank you. So, Eric, it is your turn. We've previously rolled initiative. I need you to tell me what you're doing and then do it.
I shoot a pistol at one of the guys.
Okay. All right.
No. I use complex manipulation to lift Alfarius to safety.
Okay, what's the range on complex manipulation?
You're asking me to look at the rule book. Let me see. Yeah, stars without number. Okay, psychic. Okay, found it. Telekinesis, complex manipulation. So remote manipulation, which is what all this is based off of.
Yeah, yeah.
I can manipulate any object visible to my unaided
vision. Right, that's right. Yeah, and we figured that out last time too, right?
Yeah. And there was some stuff about like struggling with guns, like as I was using it to, yeah, whatever. I'm gonna use complex manipulation, which is as remote manipulation, but I can manipulate the object as with two or more hands, simultaneously operating switches, dials, or controls. Perfect for Alfarius. And okay, so actually there's something that's a little bit unclear here. So
okay,
telekinetic press, which is level 2, says specifically that I can lift up to 200 kilos and force can be exerted as if strength 18. It lacks coordination. Then complex manipulation, the level 3, says it's like remote manipulation, but I can manipulate as if I'm using two hands. Is complex manipulation also strong enough to lift Alpharius like strength 18, or is complex manipulation strength 10 like remote manipulation?
They're separate powers.
Okay, that's what that's kind of what I was sort of getting.
I think you get one or the other right now.
Yeah, I'm either lifting something heavy or I'm manipulating something cleverly. So I'll do telekinetic press then, and yeah, I will lift Alpharius with my up to 200 kilos of force.
Okay, all right.
And then I'm going to bring him to me. I can move an object up to 40 meters per round.
Perfect. Okay. So you want to move him directly towards you, 40 meters?
How far away is he from me? Is the scale accurate on this?
Yes. Yeah. The meter scale is on there.
Yeah, like, is the docking bay of the Swan Song open? Like, Alpharius is unconscious, right?
Yes. Well, he's conscious. Like, Alpharius, you can see kind of what's going on. Your internal cybernetics are all, like, you're like Terminator. You're getting, like, static and stuff in your vision, but you're still basically aware of what's happening. You just can't move.
Okay. Mm. So, like, you know, he's incapacitated.
Yeah.
Tax it against him, have advantage. I'm going to use telekinetic press to bring him, yeah, I guess 40 meters, like, right next to me to this square right here.
Okay. All right.
So, yep. So
there.
You know, I guess I sort of, like, hold out my hands, and you see, like vascularity, like, fuse down my arms, and then, you know, there's a rippling through the air as he goes lifting into the sky and flies in my direction.
Do you lift him up and then pull him towards you, or do you just drag him along the ground?
No, I lift him and pull him, so he's not going to get, you know, too damaged or whatever.
Okay, all right.
That's what I do.
Okay, so this obviously startles the Purity soldiers, and they like follow the line of his trajectory and see you, like, force pulling him. And they start shouting to each other again in Japanese about, like a new target, basically. So they're focused on you.
Cool.
Yeah. Okay. So Alpharius, can you make a physical effect save, please?
I may. Is that just a d20?
Yeah.
I used to.
Okay. All right. So you're still.
I rolled a 5.
You're still paralyzed. Okay. So you can feel this, like, painful, like, spasming through your cybernetics, but you you can't quite get him under control yet.
Okay.
All right. So the goons they're going to go, and there's really no cover between.
I thought I remembered you already rolled something for how long the duration of this would be.
Yeah. I'm giving you basically there's a permanent like duration, like it'll end no matter what in a certain number of rounds, but within a tolerance of that number of rounds you get saves.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, you don't have to make the six. The success is just a bonus. Like, if you can get it, you'll get it early.
Okay.
Okay. So yeah, there isn't really cover, so they're just gonna stand and fire in your direction, Eric.
Are you talking about me?
Heck yeah, buddy.
Now, since our last game, you have updated this map with some fancy new graphics.
I have.
I do distinctly recall that the last time I was taking cover around the edge of the ship.
Yes. Yeah, you still have cover. You're behind the, like, front sponson thing here.
You're the man, Adam.
Yeah, it's cool.
This is way too polite. Adam, you son of a bitch, trying to fucking
come on, Steven. Don't you remember the last West March episode?
Like,
Adam was a piece of shit.
Adam, it's that I need to, like, really start lawyering this.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, dear good sir, since the duration has surpassed the movements of the last game, like,
there's
not enough sodium here.
Somebody said to me about that particular episode. They were like, I was like, I was super salty. They're like, you didn't really seem salty. I'm like, count the number of times that I used the word horseshit.
Bullshit. Yeah, horseshit.
This is horseshit. But no, yes, you're right. So I'm not taking away your cover. I just wanted a new thing to look at instead of an ugly gray box.
Yeah.
So okay. do you remember what that bonus to your armor class was?
No idea. I don't think we ever decided it.
All right. Let me find cover in here, and we'll,
and you know, whatever half cover.
Also, was I not walking towards them?
Yes, yeah, you had said I'm gonna start moving, but then hadn't yet. This where you guys are, this little setup over here, that's exactly the same. It's just got a car instead of.
All right, gotcha.
And Piani is like half blind because her cybernetic eye is going all bonkers. Okay, well, I'm sure there's a rule for it here somewhere, but I don't know what it is. So I'll just give you a plus, or an additional 4 to your armor class, Steven. So it's 4 better than it would otherwise be. Okay, so you're going to get your shit shot at. So there's 2.
Yeah, Kiska. I know.
Okay, so I'm going to shoot at you 5 times, Eric.
Holy shit. I'm trying to figure out
rest,
what my AC
the rest
is.
Of them are going to move.
My current AC is 5. So.
Should it be 10? You should just rapid fire that shit. Just sideways kill shot, I think. Or...
All right, so these guys all start to run to make a flanking maneuver around the car.
Jesus Christ.
So, Steven, what is your armor class?
My current AC is 5, so plus 4 would make it 9.
You want to do it the other way. It's the other way around.
Subtracts.
Yeah. Okay. So then I have a total of 1.
Yeah. Okay. So they are rolling a plus 5 against you. Okay.
They have a 25% chance.
Mm-hmm.
2.
Well, that's a hit. And there's a second hit. All right. Eric 8. Is dead, so I'm gonna go with the chat idea in
4.
And I put it in our thing.
All right, so a hail of laser fire, red beams light up the space pad, and you're hit twice, you said?
Yeah, it looks like it. 22 and 24, second and third shots.
Okay.
These dice rolls, 2 ones, and then a 17 and a 19.
All right, Eric, you are perforated with laser beams. You take 8 damage.
I am at minus two.
Okay. All right, so Piani and Higgs, you see Eric valiantly pull Alfie to safety before being, like, you see the beams, like, go through him.
Wait, what? Yeah. I just realized that Alfie was next to Eric while I was in the restroom. How the fuck did that
happen? Eric lifted him bodily.
Force grabbed me, bro.
Yeah. Oh. Eric force grabbed him. Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm glad I didn't just start walking towards them. Thank you guys.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Higgs.
Okay, great.
By the way, I want to rant about a movie when we come back from our break. Just give me 2 minutes.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, dude, didn't you know that, like, now after every break, there's a reintroduction show that lasts about 15 minutes?
Yeah.
There should be for this because it's the worst movie I've ever seen in my life, and I want to talk about it. It's amazing.
All right, excited. So the goons are done going. Ichiro is... God, he's just basically, like, DeSoto is in the car. Ichiro's got him, like, head down. And nobody's attacked him yet, so he's still not gonna do anything. He's just gonna hold.
Ichiro is the bodyguard of DeSoto, right?
Yeah, he's the bodyguard.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who's driving?
Well, nobody's driving now. You all got out of the car, but Ichiro was driving.
They're in the car, so where are they in the car?
DeSoto would be in the back of the car. Ichiro is ahead of him. He would be in the where the driver's seat was.
Okay.
And I don't know, what side of the road do they drive on in Spain thousands of years ago? I'm trying to figure out which side the passenger side would be on.
It's been so long, Adam, I've forgotten by now, you know?
It's obviously the right side.
Yeah, obviously.
Anyway,
yes.
The driver's side, he's on the Spanish driver's side of the car, whichever side that is. I mean, okay, so they're on the right, he's on the right hand side, so he's actually. Over here. Yeah.
Okay.
There you go. Okay, so Piani, it is your turn. Can you also make a physical effect save, please?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Fuck. Sure. No.
Okay, so no, you're still... Yeah, there you go. So you're still, yeah, you're still under the same effects. Your eye is like, you get this like really bad sudden migraine.
That means I'm not able to act?
Was she hit by it too? Because I was further ahead.
No, you can act. You're just at a minus 4, remember, to do stuff because your head is like.
Okay. Throbbing. Well, can I say Higgs to Higgs, like, I think we need to get in this fucking car and drive it to the Swan Song. There's no way we're getting over there. I don't want to get shot like Eric.
I like put my head back over and look at the survey of the battlefield and pull back down, put both my hands on Piani's shoulders and just like, you're way too calm for this. And I just start shaking, like throw you in the car if I can.
You pull her out of her wheelchair and throw her in the car?
No, yeah. Let's fucking grab the wheelchair.
You gotta leave it behind. It's a, we can't.
Fuck.
You want me to just push you?
I don't want to die.
And I turn to Ichiro, and I'm just like, we got to go. Everyone, just get in the car. We'll drive over to the ship. I'll have them open the cargo bay. And also, did I not say the code word for Pi to use the sand thrower, or did I back off because it was going to hit all of us?
You backed off because, the sand thrower would have wrecked everybody. There's a chance now it won't because Alfie's not all the way up there. But if you'll get in the Swan Song, you could definitely just start sand throwing them.
Sand throwing them.
True. Okay, so Piani, are you doing anything, or are you just gonna wait and let Higgs?
I mean, I'm gonna if Higgs doesn't throw me in the car, I'm getting into the car with the intention of escaping.
Okay. All right. So you get in the car too. Okay. Okay.
Yeah,
and
I think
then
we all get him.
Higgs, you're gonna jump in the car.
Am
too?
I driving?
No. Ichiro is still in the driver's seat, but you can jump in. You run around and jump in next to him, or you can tell him to move over and jump in the driver's seat.
Is DeSoto smoking a cigar at this particular point?
There is a cigar in the ashtray, but he's got his like head down so he doesn't get shot. So he's not currently smoking.
I was gonna grab it out of his mouth if he was, but if not, then we're good.
Okay. All right. Cool. So you pile in. So are you taking the driver's seat from Ichiro, or are you getting in the passenger, letting him drive?
I mean, he drove us here. I'll let him drive.
Okay. All right. So you run around, you jump in. Okay. So on his turn, then he'll drive the car.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Well, let's roll up some more initiatives.
Do you do it each time?
Yeah, we do.
Do we?
Eight, right?
Oh,
nice.
I
think
oh,
wait.
So.
There's an initiative thing.
I thought we just do it once.
Let me double check. I can't.
This might be the first time we've ever rolled initiative a second time.
Yeah, seriously, I can't remember. Let me double check. It's just the beginning of the fight. So it's I got rid of the order, but Eric, you're first. I remember.
Woohoo!
I was at a five or something like that.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah,
it was Eric, Alfie, the goons, Ichiro, Piani, and Higgs.
Yep. So I bleed a little bit.
Okay.
What happens when I'm at minus two? There's no like death saves or anything, right?
No, it's you lose a hit point every round, I think.
Yeah.
And then when you're at minus 10, you're dead. So you're just like gushing blood from
your... Yeah, let me look at this. I'll
gushing
look
blood from
you
semi-cauterized wounds. It's in the vicinity of page 63.
So my turn?
Yes. Make your physical effect save.
Pass.
Okay, cool. So you shake off the effects of the EMP. Alfie, you can go.
I can act?
Yes, sir.
All right. So Eric, drags me out of harm's way, and I kind of wake up. My eyes like flicker back on as he's unconscious, and whatever a guy that's been laser perforated is doing, because it's not bleeding. He's just like gasping for air or twitching.
I think the lasers wouldn't necessarily totally cauterize the wound. So there's a lot of like internal bleeding, probably. Like
oh blood. Yeah. Yeah. There will be blood, but it's not like it's not like a fountain of blood.
Yeah. Totally.
But my eyes kind of flicker on, and I push myself up off the ground, and as I'm pushing myself up, my beard projection again turns into the closing skull, and then I reach into my chest and pull out my pistol. I'm gonna blow some fuckers away.
Cool.
And we haven't done an attack roll in 3 weeks, so you're gonna have to tell me about life.
No one remembers how to do anything.
Well, hang on, let me work. Cool. So I'm at a +6, and then their armor. So what's their armor?
Their armor is 4.
Okay, so +10.
Yeah.
Oh.
You're just shooting the closest one.
Yep.
Boop. Okay.
That'll be a 29.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. Roll your damage.
All right. 2d6 +2. And he takes 11 damage.
Okay. He dies.
Deleted.
What is a mag pistol? It's like a silence recoilless. Do you know the mag stuff they talked about? I didn't read up on it too much. Oh, it's mag. That's right. They're mag driven. So they're like little rail guns, basically.
Yeah. You have your little miniature rail gun. So it's like totally silent. You just point it, and there's no recoil or anything. Yeah. And the guy just like, there's just a bullet that goes through him.
It just shoves metal objects faster than you can comprehend.
Yeah.
Just drop him.
Okay. Yeah, you blast through the guy. The guy next to him, cries out in surprise, and then, like, points at you and yells something. But it's basically like, he's up. Cool. Okay, so they're going to go. I'm going to just see what they do, because this is getting kind of messy for them. But they are going to keep fighting. They'll stick around. Okay. So, Alfie, you're going to have a couple of shots on you. Let's say these four. What's your armor?
Mine?
Alfarious? Yeah.
Minus one.
Okay. Cool.
And do I get cover because he dragged me over to the spot or no?
No, you're just like standing in front of the cover. But that's okay. Their two-hit roll is terrible. Okay, so to hit, they get a bonus of two. So that's one. Two.
I see two. There's three.
Ooh.
Four.
And dice. Here's the fourth one.
Ooh.
Okay, so your shield absorbs most of the shots, and maybe one guy like just fires and hits the pavement in front of you. These dudes are going to start firing on the car.
Which dudes?
The cluster on the side here. So the four in the front.
Okay.
These guys, they'll shoot at the car. Hitting
Good
the car.
I think DeSoto's smart enough that he would have bulletproof car.
It definitely is. Yeah, the car
I was counting on that too.
Resistant. Yeah. So, basically, I'm gonna roll. I'll roll 4d20, and
yeah, you will.
If I can get a if I can get a 20 on any of them, then someone needs to make a luck save. Nope. It was one off. Ooh, but yeah, none of the shots penetrate the shielding of the car.
Maybe Higgs knew that it was a bulletproof, or thought it was a bulletproof car. So I'm literally just staring out the window, flicking these guys off, and the bullet hits the window with the 19, but it doesn't shatter it.
The laser hits the window and just drags across.
Yeah.
And, like, it's probably scorches the like tinted layer, but doesn't get through. But it's hot enough that like you can feel like you get like beads of sweat on your forehead from the heat from the beam, yeah. But it doesn't break the window.
I probably shriek a little bit to make sure that no one heard it.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. Ichiro is gonna gun it for the car. I guess he'll probably go around Alfie instead of running right, or run over Eric too. So he'll go around. Let's just grab all of you, and we'll drag you.
I would do a drop kick through the windshield.
You just jump up there and go right through it. Okay. All right. So he's he's maneuvering his way over there towards the cargo hold, which is actually still closed. Okay. Piani and Higgs, do you want to do anything or just hang out in the car?
You need to make your
physical effect save.
Of course, after I make my physical effect save, which
she's still seizing,
is right there. Twitching. Boom! Yes.
Okay.
Let me double check it. I think it's 14 physical. Oh, mental effect?
No, physical.
Physical. Oh yeah, 13. I'm good.
Yeah, it was a tech save to originally get hit, and then it's physical to get your shit together.
Yeah, and my tech was 16.
Could they hear me, Adam? Because I'd be yelling that Eric needs. You know, as they pull up closer, I would be like one pistol out shooting and the other one like pointing at him like, he needs medical attention.
Okay.
As if it, I mean, it's more for flavor, but he's on the ground, you know, like, ah.
Right.
Oh my God, he does.
They can hear you. Yeah.
We're going to open the ship. Once we do, Pi, fucking open the ship, open the cargo hold.
Once we do, you gotta bring Eric inside. I can't do anything unless I touch him.
Okay. Yeah, the whole door down here starts to come down. Higgs, what do you want to do?
I think I just kind of sit back and maybe put my leg, like, cross my legs, and then just grab the cigar and put it in my mouth and light it and just sit there and wait.
Okay. It's evident to you that Ichiro doesn't give a shit about Eric or Alfie and just wants to get DeSoto to safety. It just happens to be that the two of you are in the car. He's just going to drive straight up into the Swan Song and not stop, so...
I think I just look at Piani and shrug.
Just keep going. Well,
I mean, there,
guess
there,
we need two new crew members.
Is the only entrance in the very back?
The only entrance big enough for the car, yeah.
But I mean, for Eric and Alfie to get to as well.
Yeah, like from the ground, you can enter down here, and then there's the like docking port up here. But this is a ground based, like this Swan Song is sitting on the ground, so you can't get up to that one unless you climb. But
okay. Well, I guess what I'll do is I just want to get inside the Swan Song. That's my goal. So
yeah,
I'll just chill.
Yeah. The car is headed in that direction.
Yeah, I'll just chill.
And how far, just to get an idea, is it rounds from the nose to the? Is it as it's depicted?
Is it to scale? No, I don't know. It would take you like a round of sprinting to get there.
Okay.
Okay. All right, so back at the top of the order, Eric, you lose another hit point.
Who's at minus five?
He's got six. He's got six rounds to go. Yeah, you got six rounds to go before you die.
I'm like every round I make this sort of like, you know, repeated. That's what's happening to me.
Okay. With big X's for eyes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I think seeing the car tear past me, mm-hmm. even though I'm like pointing at him, like, you know, shouting, assuming they can hear me, maybe they can't. Would it be safe to say that Alpharius has a comm to Pi at this point in time with the group?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, then I think he kind of sees them drive by and then turns his attention back to the criminals, and or not criminals, excuse me, but the Goonies, mm-hmm. and says, you know, Pi, Eric is down, needing medical assistance, deploy your body if possible, and then fires at the next guy that's closest. And I think, by the way, if you'll allow me, I'll move into some form of either I'm giving cover to Eric if he's exposed, or I'm taking cover for myself. But
I mean, you can move back where Eric was, right? Like,
I take cover behind Eric's fallen body.
No, if he dropped down exposed, then I would go over him and cover him with my body, like give him cover or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, they're not. There's, it's obvious to you that they're not shooting at him. Like, he was just up because he had a weapon. His body is fault. Like, you can only really see his legs now, behind the sort of pillar that the Swan Song is resting on. So you can run back here and like
I'll take
hide.
Cover and shoot then.
Yeah. Okay. So you're kind of like, you'll
allow it.
You're sort of standing where he was. You're on top of him, basically firing.
And next guy is headshot again. 29 again.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead and roll damage.
8 damage this time.
Okay. He's also dead.
His head just mystifies.
Yeah, the back of his head just blows open.
And I'm just, again, like, I think Alpharius would just repeat the what he said over and over again until Pi responded in some fashion.
Okay. All right. So two things happen as we get to the next bit. So the cargo door is down enough that you can now see inside the cargo hold, and you can see the passenger seats that have been installed in there. And Ichiro is just, like, foot down on the pedal. And he hasn't noticed, or, like, he noticed but doesn't care, and is just, like, gunning it towards, like, all of this stuff. They're going to crash into everything that's been installed in the cargo hold, unless he stops the car. There's that. I think that, Higgs, you'd be the one to see this, too, because you're in the passenger seat with him.
It does,
or you're
what?
Sitting next to him. Well, the cargo hold's full of it looks like the inside of an airplane.
Right. So does he stop?
Space. He hasn't yet.
Okay. Yeah, I just like put an arm on him. I'm just like, go ahead. You can destroy all this.
Okay.
Just get in, like, get us in the cargo is what I'm saying.
Knock yourself out, buddy.
Yeah, have fun. And okay. If the car's bulletproof, I mean, it should be heavy enough to do to destroy that. We don't need it for any reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, isn't that that's like the whole cover to like get him off the.
No, you can't have this conversation in the like 6 seconds it's going to take to fly up.
I'm just saying, even if it is, it's either, hey, don't destroy this thing that we're using to, like, just get in the car is what I'm
right. Really, I think living is probably top priority right now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yep. And they think that too. They're our target. We're bodyguards.
Sure. Yeah. He doesn't care about a bunch of like seats and shit. So, yeah, he just guns it in there. The front end of the car just barely goes underneath the. The wheels just hit barely underneath the ramp. You go up the ramp, jump off the top of the ramp, fly a couple of feet, and then, yeah, smash into essentially the inside of an airplane, and there's just, like, debris and shit flying everywhere. Nobody specifically said they were putting their seatbelt on, so I'm going to give you guys luck checks.
Okay.
And then, yeah, you come crashing into the
vehicle. Luck checks are D20. What's my luck? It is a 14 or higher. Really? That's it?
Well, do we want to... Hold on, don't roll yet.
I would like the record to show that that is some horse shit.
Whatever, you're not even there, man. You shut up and bleed out.
I would like the record to show that Omen, or rather Terminal Reflection, would absolutely go off, and I would put my seatbelt on.
Okay, sure. Yeah, I mean, you do have psychic powers that allow you to see the future, so...
Yes, especially when I am about to be hurt.
Yeah, maybe as soon as you get in the car, you have this image of, like, yourself impaled on, like, a spring from a couch or something. You're like, maybe I should just. Awesome.
So I really the potential sequence of events, though, is Higgs calmly with a cigar in his mouth reaching out and be like, go ahead, destroy the car. And then it's just like a boom!
Yeah, it's like
blood
shooting
everywhere.
That's actually exactly what happened.
That's how Higgs goes out with like
suddenly
a tricycle
just like
through his chest,
flying through the air, and you could just you just see Higgs's face reflected in the inside of the windshield as he takes like a deep pull on the cigar, like lit up red. do we want to?
We should take a break. Yeah,
and then
let's take a break
when we get back. Okay, we'll see how bad this crash goes.
I think I'm the only person rolling, right? So it's just me.
Well, yeah.
We're gonna lose our captain.
Oh, yeah, and Ichiro and all them.
Yeah, Higgs, Ichiro. Well, Ichiro and DeSoto never left the car, but I'll make rolls for them, too.
Okay, cool. Well, let's take our first break here. Still got 3 hours left to go on Roleplay Swan Song, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with hour number two. We'll see you guys then.